on us. All right, now, if you've got your Bible, and I hope you do, whether it's a hardback, hard copy, a hard Bible, or digital, the word is important. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation 2. I have felt impressed to do a little series on the church. And today we're going to be talking about the church in Smyrna. So Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And I'm just going to read that to you real quickly. In chapter 2, verse 8 begins, Jesus says to John to write these things. And John writes, Jesus says, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life. Now those words are very important when you consider what Jesus is about to tell this church. He says this in the next verse, I know your tribulation and I know your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the message to the church. We ask today that we could be listeners who will hear what you have to say to us, not just to a body of believers, but even to us as individuals. Speak to our hearts today. Challenge us. Help us to see where we are in this situation. In your kingdom, use us for the glory and the building of your work here in this hour. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many know that self-evaluation can be very uncomfortable? You ever taken any of those, you ever go to work for a job or even in the ministry now, and they'll give you this evaluation form to fill out, and you have to answer all these questions about yourself? And, you know, if you're not careful, you want the fudge a little bit, right? You want to some things that you can that you say you can do or you are like, but you're really not like that. You ever done that? You probably have it. But in the evaluation of life, let me tell you something. There ain't no cheating. You might try to fool yourself, and you might be able to fool others, but you cannot fool God. God knows something about you that nobody else knows. God knows your heart. He knows the real you. He knows about those private times when you're all by yourself, when you should be doing this, but you're doing that. You hear me? He knows about those moments when nobody sees you, when those are the moments when you really build character, but yet we allow the enemy to deceive us into doing things that we should not do. Can I get a witness in this Holy Ghost church this morning? Amen. We've all been there, right? Now, but in order for us to be transformed, I love that word because that's what God wants for his church. He wants us to be transformed. We're being changed from one level of glory to the next. So there should always be some method or some level of transformation taking place in your life. Because I promise you this, if you're not growing, if you're not staying in the Word, if you're not applying Scripture to your life and praying and seeking God, you're going to stay the same way you've always been. And you know what? You will only stay that way for a short season because after a while, you're going to start backing up a little bit. We call it backsliding. How many people do you know, even maybe your own life, at one time who were on fire for God? They served in the church, but now this morning they're probably sitting home. They turned their back on God. They went the other way. I don't want to be a backslider. I don't want to go the other direction. I don't want to be changed back to, I know what my old life was like. I don't want no more of that. I want what God has for me now. I want what God has for me tomorrow. In order to get from here to there, I've got to transform. I've got to grow. So to do that, sometimes you've got to look at your own life and evaluate where you are so that you can make changes. Can I get a witness here? Just like a patient cannot be healed until they acknowledge their symptoms, the church cannot be transformed until it's honest about its condition. In Revelations 2, 8 through 11, Jesus speaks to a church that's known as a persecuted church, the church in Smyrna, a church that is facing and going to face intense trials. Yet, unlike any or most of the other churches that we read of in Revelation, the seven churches, Smyrna receives no rebuke. Why? Because they had already evaluated themselves in the light of truth and had committed to remain faithful even unto death. There we go. We don't like talk in society because we want everything to be handed to us. We want everything to be easy peasy. We want to be blessed and highly favored. We want people to listen. We want all the good stuff with none of the bad stuff. We want all of the blessing with none of the suffering. But my Bible, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you'll be able to. My Bible says something about taking up your cross. A cross is not anything that is peaceful. It's not anything that is comfortable. It has to do with suffering and pain and agony. But yet here we are in the church today. We want the preacher to tell us how blessed we are, that we are highly favored among men. And you are, because God has saved you from your sins. I'm going to tell you this morning, you're not blessed because you got money in the bank. You're not blessed because you drive a nice car. You might have one of those nice GMC trucks like I want. You might be blessed. I'm driving a little bitty old can of a car. But I'm thankful for it. Thank God for it. It gets good gas mileage. I'm grateful for that little car because I couldn't afford a GMC truck right now. There's too much gas to run that thing. But you're not blessed because you've got money in the bank or cars or houses or possessions. You're blessed. Hear me. You're blessed because you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. That's the real blessing this morning. Know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven should the trumpet sound. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter, Sister Rita. It doesn't matter what life throws at you. It may be hurtful. It may be painful. Your life may never be a blessing. But if you choose to serve Christ, you've got a crown laid up for you. Because this too shall pass. This suffering you're enduring today will pass. But that crown of life is eternal. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's take a quick look this morning at the church at Smyrna and listen. Honest evaluation that leads to spiritual transformation, especially when we see ourselves in the lens of the truth of the Word of God. First of all, you've got to evaluate your condition through the eyes of Christ and not the world's. Jesus said in Revelation 2:9, he said, I know your tribulation and your poverty. They didn't have a whole lot by the world standard. But Jesus looks at them and he says, but you are rich. You know why? Listen, we often define ourselves by what we have or by what we don't have. Society measures worth by net worth, popularity, or even position. But Jesus measures worth very differently. When he looked at the church at Smyrna, a church that was under crushing persecution and intense poverty, he said to them something that was very, very startling. You're rich. Now, If the Lord will come to you right now and look at you and examine your life and tell you you're rich, you would look at me and say, you're rich. I would say, you ain't seeing what I'm seeing. You hear me? He can't look at my bank account and say, Pastor is rich. He might say, you might need to pay him a little more. God doesn't measure wealth based on possessions. He uses a much different scale. They had nothing by the world standards, but everything in the eyes of heaven. Hallelujah. That's the kind of evaluation we need. Not from the mirror of this world, but from the eyes of Christ. Let's break it down in a couple things. Number one, hear me. Jesus knows what you're going through. He told them, I know your tribulation. Now, with the words I know, this is more than just an awareness. It's an intimate knowledge. The Greek word is the word oda, which means to make fully known and completely known. And the word tribulation in the Greek means pressure. Anybody ever felt any pressure? Affliction. And here you go. It means crushing difficulty. The Smyrna believers, they were suffering because of their faith. They were rejected by society, oppressed by the government, and attacked by their religious enemies. So you may feel like nobody sees your pain. You may suffer silently, or you may feel like you're being overlooked. But hear these words. Hear Jesus saying, I know. I know. I know what you're going through. I know your tribulation. I know your pain. And the world may interpret your hardship as failure. But let me just say, who cares what the world thinks? Who cares what man says? Who cares what your neighbor says? What matters what God says? They may look at your situation and say, oh, you're failing, you're a failure. But Jesus sees that your faith is like a fire under pressure. Hallelujah. Now, think about coal for a moment. Now, if C.E. was here, he could tell you all about coal. Brother C.E., who was here for so long with us, he could tell you, he's from West Virginia. He knows all about mining, he knows about coal, and I've had some really good conversations with my brother about it. But coal, under pressure, what does it become? Anybody know? A diamond. Jesus sees the diamond. Hear me. This is for somebody. Jesus sees the diamond that is forming in your life because you are under intense pressure. Even when other people only see the pressure, Jesus looks at you and says, okay, I know you're hurting. I know your tribulation. I know the pain you're enduring. But I also know this. You're not going to stay that way. You're going to become a precious, valuable diamond in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I believe that's a word for someone this morning. You're under pressure. You're hurting. You don't have answers. God sees you and says, he's forming you and changing you and molding you and making you into that very precious diamond. Turn to your neighbor and say, you might not know what they're going through. You don't have to know. But look them right in the eye and say, you are a diamond in the making. Jesus also sees value where the world sees lack. Because he told them, I know your poverty, but you're... The believers in Smyrna were a poor people. They were poor in material goods. And the word poverty here is the Greek word, which means extreme poverty to the point of begging. But Jesus flipped the script on them. He says, but you're rich. Why? Because their faith was pure. Their hope was eternal. Their devotion unwavering. They were storing up treasure in heaven, just like Jesus said in Matthew. Amen? Praise God. So how are you measuring your success? Is it based on your bank account? on your influence, on your recognition in the community. Jesus says you can be broke on earth, yet be spiritually wealthy in the kingdom. Give me some people who are wealthy in the kingdom. I'll take one or two who are wealthy on earth too. But give me some people who are wealthy in kingdom issues. And I'm telling you, we won't stay broke and poor and in poverty and down. God will raise us up because God will raise up his people. Can I get a witness here this morning, this Baptist church? Hallelujah. So don't mistake earthly poverty for spiritual lack. Don't confuse earthly success for God's approval. You ever looked at someone and they just seem to be so blessed, even in the church, and you just wonder, you know, they must be so spiritual. But if the truth were known, they probably aren't. Because you can't look at someone and judge them by what you see and know their heart. And at the same time, we can't let somebody walk in here who's wearing poor clothes, who might smell, and think that they're scum of the earth. Did you know there are times when you are unaware? My Bible says there are times when you don't even know it, but yet you're entertaining angels. We got to be careful how we treat people. Let's don't treat people that are strangers like we treat each other. Come on. Just imagine that poor widow who was giving in the offering at the temple. She gave two small coins. Others gave much, much more. What did she give? She gave all that she had. And you know what happened? She got noticed by the King of Glory. How would you like for God to have noticed your giving? How would you like for God to look at you when that offering plate passes by you and God says, Father, look. Look at what Miss Margaret just gave. And the devil says, yeah, but Summer just gave $5,000. Margaret only gave $1. And we tend to put value on what Summer did more than what Margaret did. I'm so glad God doesn't look at it like that. Now, that $5,000 from Summer could have been her best gift, and God would honor that. But we can't look at that $1 that Margaret gave and say, that's not a blessing. Because God honors the heart. He knows the heart. And he knows that some of you guys in this house are givers. We got some heart givers in this place. I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. Jesus calls you to redefine your identity. Because he told them, you may feel like you're in poverty. You may even look at yourself like you're in poverty. But he's basically telling them, but you're rich. See yourself as something more than you are in the natural. Amen? He isn't just giving them comfort. He's calling them to a new perspective. They must see themselves. Oh my God, if we could get this. See themselves the way that God sees them. If we can see ourselves, if I could stand in the mirror and see myself the way that Jesus sees me, oh my God, it would change my day. How does he see me? He sees me as more than a conqueror. He sees me as anointed. He sees me as full of the Holy Ghost. He sees me as above, never beneath, over, never under. He sees me blessed in the city, blessed in the field, and blessed going. He sees whatever I set my hands to accomplish as blessed. You hear me this morning? He sees me as through the blood of Jesus Christ. He doesn't see me for who I really am. He sees me for who I am now, a born-again child of the living God. Who, by the way, is more than a conqueror. Every battle I face, the only way I'm going to lose it is if I give up. If I stop fighting. But if I keep persevering, even when it's going against me, I may be down I may be at 7, 8, laying on the mat, 9. But if I don't give up, if I let the strength of the Holy Ghost rise up in me, I can get up off that mat and land a punch that knocks the devil to the ground. Hallelujah. But here's the good news. I don't have to be the one laying on that mat. Jesus has already done that for me. He dealt the devil a blow of death. The Bible says that Jesus defeated the devil on the cross. He became sin for me, sin for you. Jesus fought that fight against the enemy, and Jesus overcame him. So now, when I fight the devil, I fight from a totally different perspective. We've got to be like David. I love the story of David. Listen, Goliath had come into the camp. Perhaps one of the Nephilim, we don't know. But he was a tall giant. And he stood there and he abused the army of God. He ridiculed them, made fun of them, made fun of God. Where is your God? Send out a champion that can defeat me. And all of those men hovered in fear. Even the king hovered in fear. But a little shepherd boy who had been tending the sheep for his father had come to feed his brothers, heard what was happening, heard this Philistine, this enemy of God, was openly mocking God. What did he do? He got him some stones, got his sling. He's definitely overpowered. Goliath, they say his sword was so big that we wouldn't even be able to lift it. His shield was so huge that it was just overpowering. Shepherd boy, an older teenager, takes that stone, puts it in that sling, and says, I don't come to you in my own name. Because this, I'm paraphrasing, but this battle's not mine. It's God's. You're defying the army of God. You know what the Bible says that David did? Did something phenomenal, something amazing. That young boy took that sling and he ran toward the giant. He didn't do this. He didn't try to get him a position behind a rock. Let's see here. What did he do? And to him. We don't have to fear our enemies. We don't have to huddle in fear and doubt and unbelief and just cry. You know that hee-haw mentality. Why is all this happening to me? You know, agony and defeat, excessive misery. We don't have to do that kind of stuff. We need to recognize that the God that we serve has already passed the feet of the devil. So what did David do, Brother Jimmy? He took that. He ran toward his enemy. What do? We hide. Let me call the pastor. Let me get on Facebook. I'll get real victory on Facebook. Come on, somebody. What did he do? Haley, he ran toward his problem. He had faith that God was greater than the problem. Oh my gosh. Did I say that? Did that come out of my mouth? That we've got faith that God is greater than our problem? There you go. Whatever it is you're dealing with, let me just go on the record here. I know the camera can't keep up with me. Whatever your problem, stop running from it. I love that the Bible tells us, the psalmist says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Sometimes, right in the middle of your adversity, right in the middle of your storm, right in the middle when all of hell feels like it's been unleashed against you, when your wife is driving you crazy, your husband's about to run you up the wall, and everything, your children are acting up, being stupid. People at work are getting on your nerves. Ever been there? Oh, yeah, I'm touching on something now. I feel it. Instead of getting mad at them, instead of getting on Facebook and airing your griefs, your problems to the world who don't care about what you're going through, they're just going to talk about you. Help me, help me, help me. Help me, help me, help me. I'm going to change this church. You, when you post something on Facebook, you say, wait a minute. Because I see a lot more than you think I do. That's pretty obvious, right? So instead of focusing your attention on your problem, I'm here thinking, my mind right now just crossed my mind, what in the world am I preaching on right here? I am so far past my notes. But you know what? I think the church of Smyrna would have loved to have heard this. Because they were about to go under some serious persecution. Some of you are going to face persecution. Oh, come on, Pastor, I'm saved. Hey, come on. Some of you are going to face trials and temptations. Some of you are going to face troubles. Because I tell you, Jesus didn't promise you you'd be delivered just because you were a Christian. He said, in this world, you're going to face tribulation. But be of good cheer. Wait a minute. That don't compute. That don't compute. How can you tell me, just like he told the church at Smyrna, how can you tell me I'm going to have tribulation, but I should be of good cheer? Ain't nothing happy about tribulation. There ain't nothing about tribulation that gets me excited. You ever been excited for tribulation? Oh, listen, my world's going to fall apart tomorrow. I can't wait. My bank account's going to go deep into the red. I'm just so happy. My children's going to run off, and I'm not going to see them for 2 years. I can't hardly stand it. I'm so thrilled. You know what I'm saying? My world's going to crumble tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and I got to tell the world. I'm so delighted. Bring it on. Bring it on. We never do that. But Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But don't be afraid. People of faith. Oh, people of God. Children of the Most High. Don't you fret. Don't you fear. Do not be afraid because. Jesus said, because. Jesus, not me, not some preacher, not some televangelist. Jesus said this. He said, don't be afraid. He said, tribulation's coming, but don't fear. Why? Because I have overcome the world. And you are my disciple. You are my child. That means you are overcomers. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are an overcomer. He told that church in Revelation that you're about to face trial, you're going to be thrown in prison, Some of you are going to be thrown in jail. Some of you are going to be, for your standing on, you're going to be persecuted, beaten, some might even die a martyr's death. We talk about, you know, people have this idea that I can live through tribulation. I'm just going to wait till tribulation comes, then I'll accept Jesus. Have at it. You could even come. Listen, if the rapture happens this afternoon and you're still here, I will this church and property to you. You can have it. You're going to need it. But some people think, I'll just wait till tribulation comes. Then I'll choose Christ. If you ain't going to serve Christ today, you think if somebody's got a gun to your head, you're going to say yes to Jesus and no to the world? Come on. You can't do it now. You ain't going to do it then. Don't deceive yourself. But you know what, though? There will be many that make it through tribulation just that way. They will choose Christ rather than the mark of the beast. And it's going to cost them their head. It's going to cost them their life. Jesus told the church at Smyrna, he said, you've got tribulation coming. You've got pressure coming. Some of you are going to die. You're going to be cast into prison. World. He said, you know what? Don't lose faith. There's a crown of life laid up. Telling them before you is more important than what you're going through right now or even what you're going to go through. We've got to start looking at life through eternal eyes. Amen? What does every decision that I make, how does it affect my eternity, my walk with God? I don't want anything to hinder my walk with him. You hear me? Anybody, anyone, you, listen, I love you, I love you, I love you. I would not be standing here this morning if I did not love you. I love you, Summer, but hear me right now. You ain't worth my soul. I love you, Emily. You ain't worth my soul. I love you, Getchit. You ain't worth my soul. I ain't stupid. Identity in Christ. Loved. You are, my friends, a royal priesthood. Can I read that scripture to you? Let me just read that real quick. But you, everybody say me. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may do what? So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We've got a responsibility. Even in tribulation, even in the hard times. Here's what happens. In those hard times, Brother Andy, it becomes all about me. Eyes on me. We got to keep our eyes on him. I tell you this, your struggles will be less when you keep your eyes on him. When you take the time to look to him, how do we look to him all the time? Keep your Bible open. Open this book and read the thing. Come on, somebody. It's not enough to say I've got a Bible at home. Everybody's got a Bible. I've got 20, at least. And if you've got a phone, you've got every translation known to man on your phone, in most cases. You got a Bible. Everybody's got a Bible. But I tell you this, everybody don't read their Bible. You want to change about yourself, this book. Book. Because God has a lot to say about you. You got to evaluate your faithfulness. Talking to you now. We're talking to ourselves, okay? To ourselves. You got to evaluate your faithfulness in the face of opposition. He told that church, he said, and the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. They were under attack, not physically, but spiritually, socially, and emotionally. Jesus didn't promise to remove their suffering. Instead, he called them to endure with a fearless faith. And to be transformed by truth, we must evaluate how we respond. Even when our beliefs are challenged, our values are ridiculed, and our commitment to Christ is tested. Because you got to expect opposition when you make a stand on the truth. Opposition will come. Slander will come. He told them from the household or from the synagogue of Satan. They faced malicious and false accusations. This came from religious Jews in the city who had rejected the gospel and aligned themselves with Rome to persecute the Christians. Jesus says they are the synagogue of Satan. Not because they were ethnic Jews, but because they were tools of the enemy against the truth. Because standing with Christ will always invite resistance. Jesus said, because if the world hates you, know this, it hated me before it hated you. We want to be like Jesus, right? You're rethinking that thought now, right? The world is going to hate you. Opposition is not a sign that you're doing something. Proof that you're doing something right. There is a man, if Patrick were here, he would know him well. His name was Polycarp. He was, many scholars believe he was a disciple of John. He was martyred in AD, around AD 155, for refusing to deny Christ. He was known as, he was the bishop of Smyrna. When threatened with death, this man responded like this. He said this, hear me out. 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme the King who saved me? You know what they did to that man? They burned him. Rumored that he told them that they didn't even have to tie him up, that he would hang to that post. Now, we don't know for sure if that's true or not. That may be a legend of martyrs. But the truth is, they say they lit the fire and it created a ring around him. And it wasn't burning him. So they said, kill him. So they stabbed him and great amounts of blood came out. And some reports will tell you that that blood put out the fire. But he finally died, either from the fire, the smoke, or from the wound. But the man became a martyr for Christ, 86 years of age, and all he had to do was deny his faith. What would you do if somebody would come, if the Aiden police would come here today? Thank God they're not going to do that. But if the authorities were to come into this place today and take you and say, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to line you up and we're going to shoot you in the head. What would you do? And we all go, shoot me. Yeah, you say that now. To that first person goes down and you start rethinking that thing, right? God help us to be strong. persecution is coming. Persecution for the church is coming. Should Jesus tarry? Should his time to come take longer? You can rest assured that we may be living in a little peaceful time right now, but don't be surprised when things suddenly change. And the church is not so popular anymore. Being a Christian, wearing a cross around your neck, is not something you want to do publicly anymore. It may cost you your life. It may cost you your home. There's even going to come a time in the near future when you can't even buy or sell without submitting to the devil. That's going to be when we're out of here, right? That's what I'm hoping. I want to be on that first load going out. But my point this morning is, even if that doesn't happen in our lifetime, persecution is coming your way. Things are not going to always be so easy. You say, easy? This ain't easy. You ain't really seen suffering yet until this world turns on you because of your faith. Can I get a witness here in this Methodist church? Fear is the enemy of faithfulness. He told him, don't be afraid. Don't fear what you're about to suffer. I could go on all day with this stuff. This is some good stuff to me. But let me close with this. Your true faith is proving in your testing. He told them in Revelation, verse 10, behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. That word means to be tried, proven, like gold in fire. It's not a punishment. Testing is not punishment. It's a refining process that reveals genuine faith. You know, when life gets hard, how many of us will ask the question, what's happening? God putting me through this? Why is God allowing this in my life? Create faith. They reveal faith. Hallelujah. James says, blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. See, gold, in order for gold to be pure, it must be purified. The impurities when you heat gold will rise to the surface. And likewise, God uses trials to refine our character, to remove the idols in our lives, and to strengthen our trust in Him alone. So let me just close with this thought. Maybe, just maybe, God allows some of the things that we go through, things that we blame on the devil, things that we blame on other people. He allows them just to see how faithful we will be to the truth of the Word of God. So are you being faithful even when it costs you? Have you allowed your fear to silence your faith? And can God trust you with trials, knowing that when it's all said and done, you're going to still be standing? I say yes. I'm looking at some people. I know some of the trials that you've been through. I know some of the hardships you've dealt with. And you know what? You didn't give up. You didn't throw in the towel. You didn't quit. You're still standing. And let me just tell you, the best is yet to come. God is about to show you some wonderful things in your life. So get ready. Look at your neighbor and say, you better get ready. Hallelujah. Would you stand? I want to ask you this morning. We've had a lot to happen in this service this morning. Somebody take my towel. We've had a lot happen this morning. I'm leaving rejoicing. I'm rejoicing, Emily, in what God has started in your life. Okay? Still healing got to take place. Okay? I know that. But the process has started, and I believe it's been accelerated. You're going to walk out of here stronger than you came in here today. You too, Shannon. You too, Haley. Crystal, you too. Those of you that came to the altar, you're stronger. God's got something really wonderful planned for you. I've told you it a couple times already. I don't know. I just got to say that there's something really cool about to happen for you. Wait. I'm not done yet. Right now you may say, my world's falling apart. I'm hurting. What if a week from now, 2 weeks from now, you found out God came and says, Emily, I had to take you through this to get you to that. And that is far, far more than what you ever imagined or dreamed. And so your that is coming. You hear me? I don't know what it is. I just got a peace in my heart. And I've had that the whole time through all this trial. There's something God's going to do for Emily that's going to blow your mind. You're going to look at it and go, this is what I wanted all my life. And now it's here. You know what? That struggle ain't going to be such a struggle no more. It's a scar. Scars are just reminders of God's healing. Healing is coming, okay? And that's a word for everybody. You may be going through something this morning, but healing is coming. And you may have a scar from it, but that scar represents that you have been healed. There was a time when I tried to take my own life. I was so messed up. I thought I'd lost everything. I got a hotel room. I laid in a bathtub and I cut my own wrist, thinking, this is it. I'm ready. I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of me. I'm ready. Whatever's out there, I'm ready for. But I know I wasn't. You hear me? I wasn't ready for it. I was stupid. I was an idiot. I'd be dead if it weren't for the grace of God. I cut my wrist. I can show you where I did it. Now, I found out later I did it wrong. Thank God I was an idiot. I heard later you can do it like that, and then it will be final. Ain't much they can do when you do that, because it's just going to... I did like that. And I tried to do this one, but I just didn't... I lost faith in it by the time I got to this one. I didn't hardly even mess this one up. But it lay there, it was open. God delivered me from that. You hear me? I'm telling you, God has delivered me supernaturally. I'm a pastor now. Who would have ever thought that? But a man told me, a friend of mine came and got me when I got out of the hospital. Your husband and my brother, Steve Zabo. I remember sitting in the car, and that man of God, that's why I believe in Steve Zabo. I'm not giving up on that man. But he told me, you know, there's going to come a time when you're going to stand in front of a church of people, a group of people, and you're going to hold them scars up, and you're going to tell them, look what God has done for me. So guess what? Look what God has done for me. Emily, you're going to be standing up one day saying,
Look what God has done for me.
Everybody say, I love you, Emily. But these scars are nothing compared to the scar that my Lord and my Savior me. The pain, the suffering that that man endured on the cruel, cruel cross of Calvary, when those spikes were driven through his wrists and through his feet, and that cross was lifted and dropped in that hole, and the thud of it, just all the muscles and the parts of his body just intensely were riddled with pain and suffering. A crown of thorns on his head, and eventually a spear in his side. All of that he did so I could stand here in 2025 and do that. Oh, what a God we serve. I'm standing here, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, ready, 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 till the trumpet sound, I'm going. Hallelujah. I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to meet him should he come today? Are you ready to meet him should death call your name today? Remind everybody in this room, you are not promised tomorrow. Would you pray this prayer with me? Everybody bow your head. Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. I confess I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for all my sin and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I turn from my old way and I choose to follow you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me a new life. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Now I ask you this morning, if you prayed that prayer and this morning you made a decision to recommit your life or to serve God for the first time, would you raise your hand and put it right back down? Is there anybody that did that? Yes, brother. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. Then everything we've done today has been worth it all. Amen. Let's light the candle. How about that, Chris? Number two. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord.